1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be starting chapter 3 this week. Workers with God. As we discussed in chapter 2, Paul does deal with the carnality and the spiritual discernment that the church here at Corinth was going through. And this is seen how the church at Corinth had misconceptions about those who were co-workers with God. So let's read today as we start in chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it, and even now you're not yet ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Well, this, I like how Paul does so many of the neat things, and it's guided by God by all means. But he opens up, and again he says, but I, brothers, that's believers. So this letter, again, is, as we understand, it's written to the church in Corinth, but he's talking to believers, believers. But then comes in the words in which, and I want us to understand that every one of us, myself included, all of us, need to check ourselves on a lot of things that will be discussed here. Because what does he do? I could not address you as spiritual people. Ooh. Now, if I was in that church at that time, I'd kind of go, uh-oh, what's going on here? Immediately, Paul reprimands them, the church, for their spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. They're not spiritually mature. They're babes in Christ. Now, as we do this, how does a believer stay as a infant in Christ? How does he do it? How does a person who does that? One of the main things is they allow the world's thoughts and actions influence them greatly. Greatly. And are they reading the scriptures? Are they reading them? Are they praying? Are you asking God to open up doors beyond what you can imagine? And Paul's telling him, hey, you should be way more spiritually mature than you are showing now. And I got to ask the question that I spent so much time in myself, am I growing maturity? Am I growing that matureness of spirituality? And that's a question all of us have to ask. All of us have to do this. It's a reality check as we read the scriptures. It truly is. Would you say you've grown more mature since that you first believed? Most would say, yeah. This church at this time, they weren't. They were walking according as the world and into the flesh. And so what we don't want to do is look at anybody else. We look at ourselves. We want to look at ourselves, truly. And I think about that. How do we handle trials now that come upon us? How do we handle those difficult situations that we encounter? That tells you how spiritual growth is happening with you. Because I wonder how many times do we just throw our hands up and say, that's it, I'm walking away. That can happen, right? Do we throw our hands up and say, that's it, I'm going back into the world. This has been too tough a fight. Or do we say, dive into the scriptures, dive into prayer and say, God, you got to take me through this situation. Do we seek God in prayer and in his word when those tough situations come upon us? Because all of us go through them. We all do. Now think about this. Now you may say, okay, but I want us to all of us really think hard on this. No matter how long you've been walking in the Lord, are your viewpoints on things the same as the world's viewpoints? And that can be in relationship, in family, in work history, in all the different things. And it's really easy to look now and see what the world has gone after. Are we going after that too? Are we going after all that things that God says? Do we keep in mind God says, I've got you. I'm never going to let you go. Or, well, we got to think about our security, our own security. We got to think about all the different. I wonder about things like that. If we do, and that's a question. Or has God been changing you? Because you're seeking him and studying his word, is God changing you? Hopefully so. Hopefully so. Are there areas in your life where you haven't handed them over to God? Health, finances, relationship. Are there areas where you say, you know what, you can do touch on everything, but don't go into this area or this area? Or have you handed everything over to God? Are you following the world's view on those various areas? Or are you handing it over to God? We want him to be Lord over everything in our lives. And this is very important. When we do that, guess what? Our hearts and minds will be focused on him and his kingdom. That's where your minds need to focus on. And I understand security. You know, do I got a house, roof over my head? Have I got food? God's not going to leave you. I'm just telling you that. He's not. And we all struggle with those things. But I wonder here, if we check ourselves, we could say, you know what, Lord, maybe I'm lacking it a little bit in this area or in this area. Can you help me with that? That's hard to say, and that's up to you. Because look what Paul says to them in verse 2. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not ready. Well, I think what he does here is he makes something that every one of us can understand. With a newborn infant, you're going to feed him milk. You're not going to lay down a steak and bake potato with them. They can't handle it. And even as they start, they're going to have that baby food that's mushed up and going through. It's the same principle that we're looking at here. What he did when he came to the church in Corinth, Paul planted that church. And he did what everyone could really understand and relate to when he used this infant and feeding. He said, I fed you spiritual milk when he planted that church, just like feeding a baby. And that's what he had to do. Why? Because they were new believers. When he planted that church, this was the beginning of church. They're new believers. It doesn't mean that he preached a different gospel or the gospel wasn't preached. By no means. It's the same gospel. It's the same word to this day. And it's God's gospel. The difference is, here's where the difference lies in. Some of the people paid attention, read the scriptures, sought God for understanding. And some came in, listened, went out to the door, and right back to the world. Come back in a week, and you can see a pattern here. It's really fun and interesting as I see in this church, and we're a small church. that everybody seems to be really hungry and thirsty for God's word. So pat yourself on the back, because what I see is blessings. But we also have to watch ourselves. We have to keep ourselves in check on these things. Because the ones that study and pray, and they applied it to serving Christ. They applied it to serving Christ. And I think about this, what you're reading and what you're praying, it actually affects your life and how you apply things. It's like I was thinking about each week as I put in the bulletin the notes, and the notes that I put up here to give more understanding to what we're looking at and reading. Do you go back and look at them and say, what was he saying? What was he talking about? I put them up here because, well, it's been over 10 years now. When I started preaching, nobody had a Bible. And I thought, this is weird that I noticed nobody had a Bible. They weren't reading along with me. So I said, God, what do I do? Put your notes up. So we got TVs and I put the notes up there. And what did I see? I could sit up here and see, and I could see people go like a typewriter reading it. So not only they hear it, but you read it. That gets more understanding. It's not just in one ear and out. You actually have to read it. And I think about that with the bulletins. You go back and say, okay, what? I saw it up there, but what did it say again? And look at that. Paul is telling them here that he could not teach them the deeper doctrines of Scripture. They were still infants in Christ. You can be 80 years old and be an infant in Christ. And you can be 20 years old and be very mature in Christ. It's how you look at things. It's how you study. You know, it's funny how my own personal devotion, and everybody does it different, and I do mine different. I open up with a psalm. I go through the psalms twice a year. There's 150 of them. Every day I just go right in order and read one. Then I go to the New Testament, start with one of the Gospels, then finish the rest of the book. And I'll go through, and then I go to the Old Testament. Go through the whole Old Testament every day. This way I can get through the Word of God, New Testament, 3, 4, 5 times a year. The Old Testament, 2 or 3 times a year. I'll get through it. So this 2 weeks ago, as I was writing this out, I was sitting there going, Lord, I'm going into the book of Revelation. Can you give me more understanding? I've read it so many times, but I want more. And he did. There was stuff I go, oh my gosh, Lord. He just kept opening doors. I guarantee you, if you ask God to open it up, he will. And you'll start opening up and it becomes an exciting, fun time. Absolutely rejoicing in God and his word. So these are just helpful hints for you. Studying these. Because Paul's telling them, you're not ready for deep doctrines. When I went to school for 3 years to become a pastor, my goodness, I loved it. I loved it. I couldn't get enough. And I would ask more and more and more and more, trying to go into it even deeper. And it was funny, because I remember times I'd tell Cindy, wow, you got to read this chapter. This is really good on theology. No, you read it and tell me about it, because it was like, these are thick books. And it was so exciting as it kept diving more and God kept opening the doors. That's what you do when you read scriptures. God will continue to open these doors up for you. And you'll go, wow, that's really good. Here, this church, these are infants in Christ. They're infants. They could not digest the deeper doctrines. Man, I want more. Because they're infants, they couldn't handle the more things that you can draw into this. And Paul says something that should be taken as a spiritual reprimand. You're not ready yet. Wow. If I would have been in that church at that time, I wonder if I'd have went, oh my goodness, Lord, help. Help. I want more. If God is speaking to you personally right now, ask Him, God, will you open up more doors? Will you help me understand more? I want more of you, God. This is His word. This is Him. It's about Him. And then He says in verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh. Are you not of the flesh and behaving in a holy and human way? That would sting. That would really sting. He tells them many of you are spiritually infants. Spiritual infants. Let's keep it really simple. And it says you're still of the flesh. Somebody says I'm walking in the flesh or I'm in the flesh or in the world. That's not a good thing. You're acting as if the world would act when trials and situations come along. And it says, now here what Paul says, and we look, and our word is for in the original Greek. It's preparing the people for, Paul's going to give us illustrations into this worldliness. Or walking in the flesh, worldliness. The first thing he lists is jealousy. Jealousy. This is why we always got to be checking ourselves. Don't look at the other person, check ourselves. The actual Greek word, and I'll say this, without a doubt, jealousy leads to division. Division. I've seen it happen in this church probably 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was. Jealousy. And it divided. It did. Jealousy always seems to get really ugly. Really ugly. Because we have to understand that once you have the jealousy, what does it lead to? When Paul says you're not already, jealousy and strife. Jealousy leads to strife. Problems. You get strife, or it may say in your scriptures, envy. Envy. Jealousy leads to strife or envy. They're dividing attitudes. We want to calm that instead of fan the flame of it. There's nothing that unites in jealousy or strife or envy. Nothing in it unites. And Paul is telling them that they are being dominated by the flesh. And this is where we got to watch. We got to watch that. Dominated by that flesh. So what does the Bible tell us about the flesh? Oh, what that corruptible seed that is in us all, the seed of sin. What's it tell us about that flesh? Put up Romans 7:18 for me, please. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So in your flesh, you have the desire maybe to do what's right, but you don't carry it out. Now, here's an assignment for this week. Pay attention. Romans 7:18. Read 19, 20, 21 after that. Because Paul the Apostle, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. So here I'm going, Paul, you're great. And then I think, oh man, I'm really low. Have you ever wanted to do something good and right and you just don't? Or the things that you don't want to do, all of a sudden you're doing. And you go, read it, and it'll give you a lot more understanding into that. Also, what does Paul tell the church in Rome about flesh? Look at Romans 8, 7 and 8 for me, please. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. There you go, folks. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Jealousy, strife, envy. These are things for us to constantly keep in check on us. Ourselves. Not on somebody else. Ourselves. Because we can easily drift that way. Because Paul tells them, you're behaving in a human way. You're behaving in a worldly way, a fleshly way. In other words, you're walking in the flesh. He's telling the people at the church in Corinth, you're walking in the flesh. As believers, we're to walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And this is important for us. Put up Galatians 5, 16, 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Here's the benefits, folks. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That's where we have a problem, folks. That seed that is in us, that seed of sin, our spirit fights with that all the time. It's constant. The flesh will keep us from doing the things that we want. So, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, let me walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Now, so what is the difference of whether you walk by the flesh or you walk by the Spirit? Well, we're going back to God's Word. And he tells us, walking by the flesh. Put up Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're walking by the flesh, there it is. And you go, uh-oh. Now, in that also, all of us need to look at that. As even as I was preparing rightness, I had to look and say, Lord, is there one in here I'm struggling with? You know if I am or not, Lord, help me, whatever it is, or two or three or whatever that number may be. Because we want to walk by the Spirit. So keep in mind here, this is the flesh. So let's put up walking by the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Take the notes. After church today, pull up Galatians 5. And you can look at it right there, 19 through 24. Gives you the difference, the flesh and the spirit. And go, whoa, is there some area where I need? And then when you get to this one, boy, Lord, I want to walk by those. I want to do that. That is what we want. And Paul says, and my speech and my message were not, For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely human? Paul and Apollos were apostles. They're apostles. Both of them are apostles. They are sharing in the ministry. They are co-workers with God. They're co-workers. He tells them plainly, you're acting just like the world. I'm going to follow Paul. No, I'm going to follow Apollos. Oh, I'm going to follow this pastor. I'm not going to follow this one. Folks, pastors are preaching the same gospel. It's God's word. If they're preaching the word of God and they're on, all teachings are good for you. You can be in here on Sunday, come home later today, pull up one good pastor's out there on online and hear their messages. We're doing the same thing. We're all laborers, workers. I think back and don't think, well, I'm going to this church. I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go over there. Yeah, you have a home church. That's not a problem. I think about my mother. My mother and dad went to this one church, a good-sized church, big church, actually. But, and as they would go to the Bible studies for the seniors, then my mother was also in a couple other women's groups at other churches. More information. More growth. What a blessing. Paul's telling them, hey, we're all on the same team. Don't say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. We're all on that same team. What then is Apollos? He asks the question, what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe as the Lord assigned to each. Whoa! The church was divided at this time when he wrote to this church. Paul and Apollos are servants of the Lord. That's it. That's where it's at. Servants, when I looked up the Greek word on servants in this particular section, can be transferred into the word translated, excuse me, ministers. But I think servants is a better translation. It can be ministers, but I think it's a better translation. An attendant, or they may use it also in the terms of a waiter on a table. The waiters on it, they were serving others. The stress of the wording, though, is that they're lowly states of servitude. To be a minister is a lowly state of servitude. You serve all. You don't get to pick and choose. You serve all. But I want us to understand, ministers, pastors, are just tools for God to use to get his glory. Tools. God showed me this 6 months ago. Again, you're a tool that I use. And for me, he used me in reference to a shovel. I was a tool, and that's how he was able to make me understand it. And I was thrilled because God was using me as a shovel. But there are many, you think about that, you even think about the tools. Look at your garden tools. There's a shovel, there's a pick, there's a rake, there's a hoe, there's a pruners. We're not all the same. But we're all tools to do the same thing. Doesn't matter what it is, it's the same thing. It's guard, carrier, whatever it is. It's tools. But God is to be the whole focus of everything, no matter what tool is being used. Because understand, ministers, we did not create the gospel. We didn't create it. And what how Paul says it there, it says, as the Lord assigned to each. Servants who you believed in as that God has assigned them to serve you. The servant can only help as God gifts them. If God gives each one of us different gifts. The main gift to all ministers is preach the gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is a gift given to all pastors. Christ died for you. The main gift. The whole thing. There could be others. Some can be financially able to help the body. Others can have certain talents and skills to help. But the main thing is preaching the gospel. And the gifts, and we're going to see this in this book in Corinthians. The gifts are of God and God alone. And he gives as he sees fit. All Christians are tools for God to use for his glory. For his glory. And that's it. And we see Paul here turns around and he says, I planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God gives the growth. Paul planted the church at Corinth. He started. He planted. Then Apollos comes along. Takes over. You know, there are people that I know that I talk to. That's what God's called them to. They go into a town, they plant a church, get it going within a year, but usually by 18 months, they're gone. And God has brought a pastor in to shepherd that flock. And they go and start planting another one. Paul said, I planted that church. Apollos came in and watered. But we need to understand that as servants of God, none of us can even remotely compare to what God does. I like how Paul explained this. He said, I planted, Apollos watered. It is still proclaiming the gospel, no matter how you look at it. Paul shared the gospel and got the church going. Apollos comes along and waters it. Okay, so in my thinking as I was doing this, God was showing me, Greg, you're that shovel. Yep, I dug the ground, dug it up. threw a seed in it, the Word of God, covered it up. Now comes along somebody to water it. But let's understand something here. The person who plants it shares that message. The person who waters comes in and enforces that same message. But God is the only one that can make it grow. Period. Period. God makes the growth. We can all understand. You put a seed in the ground, do you make it grow? You water it, but if it don't want to grow, it doesn't grow. God's the only one that can make that seed grow. And that's what all of us need to do is say, Lord, grow your word in my heart. I want more. Lord, you planted the word in my heart. Now let's grow it, Lord. Grow that word in me. Because God's the only one that can make it grow and give you the understanding. We as servants are strictly tools for the Lord. That's it. What a great privilege and honor it is. We cannot produce any spiritual growth. It's not up to me. It's up to the Holy Spirit. I read His word. Whose word am I reading? His. Who wrote it? Him. I'm just sharing it. God is the only one who can make it grow, and that's what you have to come. When you come into church, Lord, I need you to grow your word in my heart. And all of a sudden, as you go through, all of a sudden you go, oh, that's it. Yeah, Lord, okay. Okay, I got it. I got it. Yes, we plant a seed, and multiple people may water that seed. Multiple. But all glory belongs to God because He's the only one that can make it grow. And I guarantee you in prayers, you can pray for whatever you want. But if you, Lord, I need growth of your word in my heart. Lord, I want to grow closer to you. I guarantee you God will do this. He will do this. And you have to understand, whatever gifts the servants have, they belong to God. And He gives them to them to bring glory and honor to Him. We're to ask for the gifts, by all means, the gifts. But God gives as He chooses and Him alone. You may ask for a gift of tongues, but God may say, no, I got other things for you. I'm going to give you the gift of hospitality, or I'm going to give you the gift of being a prayer partner, prayer warrior, or I'm going to give you whatever gift it is. Able to preach, able to teach, whatever, evangelize. God does all that. We're to follow God and we are to glorify God as servants to do this. Look at Psalm 29:2 for me, please. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now, you go out and you plant a seed. Pray that somebody comes and water. You share the gospel with somebody. Pray, God, bring others in that can water that. You know, it's really exciting as we plant seeds. And then maybe you're the one watering it. Or you could be the one that you get to be part of the harvest. It's still God in all His glory. It is still God in all His glory. But I'm going to share this, folks. Last week I told you that Larry called me and said, hey, can you call this guy? So I called him. He put two other gals on with him on a speakerphone. After 45 minutes or so, and I shared the gospel, they all three accepted Christ. And you'd say, that's fantastic. I was thrilled. Never seen him. He would continue to call me looking for scriptures, looking for help. Wednesday, he calls me and says, I got a guy here, Greg, one of the three that I prayed with. I got a guy here, he's struggling. Again, so I just talked to the guy, asked what was going on, shared the gospel. He accepted the Lord. What happened was that fire that got planted in those three is now going out. They're doing what they're supposed to do, plant that seed, share the gospel, get it out there. And God blessed me just being part of seeing the harvest. I say, wow, Lord, that's really neat. But I pour a blessing on these others because they're sharing the word. Well, all together, we're tools. So I'm the shovel that was there. They were the ones planting the seed. They were being the shovel planting that seed. What a blessing. Absolute unbelievable blessing. I was so excited this week. Out of a simple call from Larry, just saying, will you share, talk to him? Four people. So all week my prayer has been, Lord, let it go on the good soil. Let that word stick. You know, and you can read the parable of the sower. There's four seeds thrown out, but only one fell on good soil. So I'm, Lord, help, 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 help. Also, I called a couple of churches down there. This is in Pico Rivera. They're now contacting them because I said, you got to get them into a church. So I called church. I explained the situation. Call them. They're doing that to get them into church. Then the one man called me and says, hey, I'm going to get baptized Sunday. I wish you could come. And I go, well, can you video watch it? And I go, well, I guess I could have it on here and go, okay, cool. But I said, no, that's great. You're getting baptized. And you're under another church. Perfect. Perfect. Made my life a whole lot more exciting. There's no greater joy than seeing somebody come to the Lord. No greater joy. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. Think about that. We're all just servants of the Lord. That's it. None of us can do anything for that. And I just thank God. Thank God. But the important part was God gave the growth. Not me. Not me. You know, remember I'm a shovel. When you're not using it, you set it over there or you can use it. It's his glory. God is the only one that can make things grow. But we are called to plant. We are called to plant. We cannot produce that spiritual result. Yes, we are definitely to plant the seed. That is all of us. And multiply people watering it. I just think it's a blessing. And he goes out and he says, verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one. With each will receive his wages according to his labor. Excuse me. All servants are equal in God's eyes. All of us are equal in God's eyes. There is not one more important in here than anybody else. Because you think about it, I'm a shovel. Nobody goes, I'm ready for the shovel. No, 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 no. And all God's servants have varying functions. All have. Try to rake a yard full of leaves with a shovel. It ain't going to work. How are you going to prune that hedge with a shovel? So each one of you, ask God what your spiritual gift is, or gifts. And say, Lord, I need to use this. Because all servants are called by God. You were called by God, every single one of you. It's the same work. We're to serve the people of God. Just like that young man, he just accepted Christ. Later, he's sharing the word. I was like, wow, that was exciting. All ministers are united also. True ministers that share the word of God and preach the gospel. We're united. And God uses all of us as he wills. I can't say, well, I'm going to go do this. Bless it, Lord. No, God will lay it on the heart. It is him who places us where we are. You know, that's it. The second half of this verse, though, says each minister of God is personally responsible to God. That is why I spend so great amount of time making sure what I preach is biblically correct and sound. Because if I preach something that is wrong, contrary to Scripture, I will be held accountable to God for it. Scripture says not all should want to preach. Because you're going to be held to a higher But each one will be rewarded according to what he does. This was one of the things that God showed me in Revelation. The reward. Oh, our rewards for how we serve here are going to be phenomenal. People will ask me, well, you're a pastor, yeah? How much money do you make? I says, I got an absolutely excellent retirement plan. I'm good to go. Oh. My retirement plan, folks, is just the same as yours. It's perfect. It is the best retirement plan a person can have. You guys have the same retirement plan I do. Isn't that neat? And God's going to give us those specific gifts for specific purposes. They're all in his timing. Look at 1 Peter 4:11 for me, please. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, we're just the same. Whether you speak or whether you serve, we're the same. It's God's glory. We don't want it. I can guarantee you, we don't want that. Give him all the glory on that. And that's what needs to be understood. But here, the last verse we're looking at today. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul's telling the church this. Verse 9. I'll read it again and see if you pick something up. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Look at how the verse is written. Notice how it says God first over everything. God's fellow workers, God's fields, God's building. Well, God's fellow workers, ministers, preachers, God's field, you. God's building is the church, all of us. We're all lumped in together here. Ministers, we are to work with God, carrying out his will. So my job is to equip the saints for the ministry of Christ. It says in Timothy, that's my job. Equip you, the saints, with the word of God. That's why I preach it, teach it, to equip you, to go out. And you think about that. You are the field. Now, what's really important here that we need to understand is we're to bear, remember walking spirit, bear much fruit. Okay? So if you're the field, orange trees, cherry trees, wheat, are you bearing fruit? Or are you that field that there's no fruit? We ask ourselves these questions. How much fruit are you bringing in to the church? That fruit that goes to God. God owns the field. God owns everything. We're just workers in that field. Are we to produce fruit? We're called to do that. We're called to do that. The church, all of us, we are to bear fruit for God. That's what we're to do. Are we doing it? Each one has to check themselves. Are you planting a seed or seeds? Are you watering any of the seeds? We all have to ask ourselves, me included. Are we bringing fruit in? The building being ministers and the people working together to do this. We're to work God, bear fruit for God. Are we doing that? But one thing we all have to remember is the foundation for the church is Jesus Christ. Period. Put it for me, John 4, please. Do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Jesus is speaking here. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. When you walk out of this building, are your eyes open to the field? That's what it says. Look, I lift up your eyes and see. When you go to stairs, when you go to a restaurant, when you go to the auto parts store, when you go to the mall, are you seeing the field? Jesus says, it is ripe for harvest. Are you seeing that and sharing that gospel? Or do we go in, I want to go in, get out of there. I want to go in, have my meal, get out. Are we looking around? Are we taking the time to think what Jesus has done? Jesus is saying, hey, there's a bunch of them out there. The fruit's there. When was the last time we invited somebody into church? When was the last time you called up and said, hey, how you doing? Have you been going okay? Is there anything I can pray for you? These are things that we got to check ourselves. All of us are included because we're part of the church, every one of us. And that's what we need to look. We need to have our eyes, remember, on Jesus and his kingdom, not on the world. Not on the world. We're so blessed because of Christ. So blessed. And Christ commanded us to partake in communion, to remember what he did for us. He died for us. He died for us so that we may have eternal life. Now, it's a pretty easy task, I think, for all of us to serve the Lord and Master who gives us eternal life, who gives us everything we need in this life and the abundant life. So as we take time to partake in communion, as the bread is handed out, sit and thank him and praise him. Also, as we do this, asking him, Lord, thank you. Just praise him. I think about this as the Lord Jesus was there and was handing the bread out. And got to remember, he said, this is my body given for you. Given for you. He gave us his body so we could have eternal life. As Dave hands this out, I ask that also that you